Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora and welcome to another Aotearoa Rugby Pod after a wonderful weekend of Super Rugby. 2 weeks left in the regular season and 7 of the 8 teams have got a chance at a home playoff game. So this is exactly what we're wanting when we get to this time of the season. I'm Ross Carl taking you through the action this weekend, joined as ever, both of them in the big screen this week, Bryn Hall down in Christchurch, James Parsons on the beautiful North Shore. Guys, what a weekend and how this is shaping to be. Bryn, let's start with you guys. Super impressed with the way you guys played against the Brumbies, especially in that first half.
Yeah, it was Ross. Look, it's great to be home. It was a long trip for us, 3-4 weeks away from home and some pretty hostile environments. And look, yeah, Canberra was a great time for us, I think. It's been a probably a two-week game, I think, that we've played really well. You know, it started with the force and talking about our collisions, and that's kind of continued that we did on the weekend. Look, I think that first 40 minutes was probably the best game management we've had the whole year, with Will, Jordan, David and Richie putting in the right parts of the field and being able to accumulate points through that pressure. I think some just a lot more better around winning collisions and getting a really quick ball, because I think, you know, the last two games we've seen a lot of that. And I think after that Waratahs game, we've had a lot of shifts in that kind of area. And I think just more so our game management around our kicking has been really great for us the last 2 weeks. And so setting up really perfectly for us, you know, coming into Christchurch, coming back home and probably knowing that it's going to be wet, dewy conditions, you would put ourselves in a good spot. But knowing that, you know, got a lot of things to work on. You look at that last 20 minutes and giving the Brumbies, you know, ample opportunities to try and come back and to win that game was a little bit disappointing. But look, coming back from the tour, 3 wins out of 4 and the last 2 performances definitely have made it a lot easier coming back home after that loss to the Waratahs.
Jibba, they are making your Blues maybe sweat it, because they're looking like they're a serious contender.
I think the Crusaders will always make teams sweat with their ability coming into the finals, and I think key players playing really well, and Richie's really finding some form, and David Havili I thought was great, and as Bryn mentioned, just Will Jordan doing Will Jordan things as per usual. So I thought that was a massive statement to win over in Canberra, and it certainly shows that the finals really is as per usual.
For me, that's Ed Match of the Round. It's Ed Match of the Round because it showed business. What about you, Jipper? What did you think was the Match of the Round?
Oh, look, I think in terms of the matchup and the impressive performance of the Crusaders was the game that everyone was interested to see. And look, I don't want to be too hard on the Brumbies, but it felt like Bryn said, the game management of Richie and co really sort of made them do it with ease a little bit. I think the Brumbies will look back at that first 40 and be a little bit disappointed in terms of their collision work, and I think they were missing Valentini. I know he's in red hot form, but someone like him alongside Samo could have potentially posed a difference. Noel Olesio as well. So I think they'll be better for it as well, and maybe it'll bring a sharper preparation and kick them into gear and really light up this final series. But outside of that, obviously I loved the Blues game with James O'Connor back. I thought that was going to be a tight contest, but I suppose the clinical nature of the Blues in and around their carries and their cleans is allowing them to strike from so far back. They're so disciplined and wanting to have that high standard the whole way through the field that it's sucking in defenders and creating opportunities for their outsides from long range. And then the big boys, you know, with numbers 1 to 5 are playing like midfield backs at times. So it was great to see, pleasing to see a bigger crowd too.
And Bryn, it leaves that Blues-Brumbies game this weekend, you know, with the Brumbies coming off a 26-37 loss to the Crusaders and the Blues off a 53-26 to the Reds. and all of them in a very close position at the top of the table. The Blues on 50, the Brumbies on 43, the Crusaders on 43. It really shapes what could be an interesting playoff if the Blues or the Brumbies get the win this weekend. Either way.
Yeah, I think it is. It's the nature of having those kind of home finals and home semi-finals that's going to be really important. Like I know as players that being able to have your finals footy in your backyard is massive, especially around the preparation and knowing what that entails. And you make it feel way more easier than it usually has been away from tour. But yeah, I think the Brumbies will probably be hurting from that result on the weekend. And look, sometimes you lose games, but it's probably the manner of how they lost. You know, I was talking to Nick White after the game, and they probably saw that they wanted to implement a similar game plan to how we were, putting us under pressure through their kicking game, and they just weren't able to do that just for the fact of that we did it to them and then being able to win collisions. So look, I probably know in Canberra how tough it is. It is a little bit more dewier, and so the Blues will be traveling with a lot of confidence because look, they're the form team in the competition. And I think the good thing that you brought up, Jip, is around their ruthlessness around doing it consistently for 80 minutes. And, that comes with the big boys 1-5 and even 6-7-8. We know how that loose forward trio is, but it's those big boys being able to win collisions consistently and that breakdown to give the likes of Finlay Christie and Bowden Barrett, who I thought was at his running attacking best on the weekend, because all those hard boys have been able to win collisions and been able to offload as well. It's hard to defend teams when you're able to go, when you're offloading through contact and going over the advantage line consistently. And so the Blues have continued to do that. You'd probably say from their performance against us, they've continued that, be able to have win offloads and consistently keep winning collisions. And that hasn't even talked about their defense, around how disciplined they are. They're in there around the 88-90% tackle percentage rate. So look, they're flying on all cylinders, and I think it's come at a really good time. They've been able to fly over Canberra, and it'll be a great watch to see how they go against the Brumbies with us just playing them.
Chipper, I'm going to throw a theory out at you. Tell me if I'm crazy. So the Blues on 50 points, got a game against the Brumbies and a game against the Waratahs, most likely to beat the Waratahs. So let's say that the Blues take top spot, which will leave probably the Highlanders for them in the quarterfinals. You look at the other end, let's say the Crusaders come second. They could have the Reds, the Tars in the quarterfinal, and then the Brumbies in the semis at home. Is it actually better right now to come second in this competition because you get an easier run through the quarters and the semis?
Nah, not at all. I think if you're going to win this competition, you've got to back yourself to beat any team on whatever given day. And I think that ability, if you can go the distance and have the home final, number one's where you want to be. You're in control of your own destiny. And whether it's Highlanders or anyone else, I think we've seen in this competition, if you're off a little bit, you'll get toast. So even second and third, those quarterfinals are going to be tough battles.
Yeah, I just think playing the Highlanders and then playing either probably the Chiefs or the Canes is a pretty tough gig. You could get tripped up there.
Oh, definitely. But I think there's elements that is, you could look at it from a positive light. Is it sharpens you up if you can get through those games. Your match fit, your test match and test intensity fit. Leading into the final, which is where it will be all decided. So I think if you start worrying and focusing on the opposition you're playing, you probably won't dot your I's and cross your T's in your own sort of behaviours and your own preparation, and that'll probably knock you off course anyway.
Either way, it's looking pretty bloody exciting with the amount of teams in the running. Like I mentioned earlier, 7 of the 8 teams could get a home playoff game, depending on what happens with the other results. And that is a place that I don't think that we've been in for a long time. So that's very, very exciting. Why don't we jump into the quick fire? As soon as we got straight to the long answers, let's jump back to the quick fire stuff. Player of the round for you, Bryn.
I actually had a lot of guys that were playing really well, but I actually had a notable mention for Bowden Barrett. I thought he was great on the weekend and probably had one of his better games in a Blues jersey. Also had Pablo Matera, who was massive for us. But I actually had Marino Kalitu'u. I thought he was outstanding in that game for the Highlanders and really set the tone. And no doubt, Ross, you'll be thinking about, is he in contention for All Blacks selection with his form that has been playing in that loose forward trio that we continue to keep popping players up. But I had Marino. He was fantastic for the Highlanders on the weekend.
Jipper?
Yeah, look, I agree with Bryn. There was some outstanding individual performances across the board. One guy that gets slotted in 10 jerseys, Sam Gilbert, I think he's a notable mention. But for me, the big man, James Tucker, is in some form, carrying on from his Waikato MPC. So seeing the big fella charge up the middle of the field back-to-back weeks, Really impressed me, and I like to get a low number in these discussions too there, Ross.
Yes, you do. We didn't have a chance to get a front rower in there, but you got as close as you possibly could, right? What about the team that improved the most, Bryn? You know, looking with the context of the playoffs not far away.
Oh, look, I think you can go for the draw. You know, they played well and were able to get that win against Moana Pacifica. They probably would have been seeing that on the schedule, knowing that they're a game that they would have won. But I've actually just gone for the Highlanders. And I think it's because just the growth that they've shown and the amount of points that they're scoring. Look, we talked about earlier in the year around how clinical they weren't. They weren't clinical around finishing plays, especially in that 22-metre zone and being able to build pressure against teams. And, you know, on the weekend, it was perfect for them, you know, scoring 61-odd points. And, you know, having Gilbert as well as 10, it was a few head scratches, you know, even when we're talking about it, getting him in number 10 jersey. But he was outstanding, you know, his ability to be able to take the ball to the line. And look, this is no disrespect to Hunty, but, you know, just a bigger body. You know, he's up at that kind of 100 clicks mark. And he's played it at school. But, you know, I think, you know, it'd be pretty interesting to see which direction they do go moving forward. You'd have to think that, you know, going forward, at least for this week coming, that Sam will be in there, give another opportunity. But I'd say the Highlanders, just with how clinical and how ruthless they were, which we've been wanting to see, you know, especially the early parts of the year where they weren't getting that right.
Yeah, for you, Jibber?
Yeah, look, I'm the same. I think the reason you asked that question around the Blues and finishing first and playing the Highlanders is because of their massive turnaround on the weekend, as Bryn sort of alluded to, all those points. But it also makes other teams sit up and listen, because we know that they don't mind that underdog mentality. So coming into the playoffs, they've done it before to win a Super Rugby, and no doubt they'll believe they can do it again.
What about the team that went backwards, Bryn?
I'd have to say the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs would probably be the team that's regressed the most. And look, it's not to say that the Rebels have been playing well, and was probably, to think about it, they probably should have won that game. And if it wasn't for a last minute try by Ollie Norris, they'll be kicking themselves not getting that 4 points against the Rebels. And so, but I think very similar to the Highlanders around that underdog, it's a bad place if you're going to put, you know, if you're not going to think around the Chiefs as genuine title contenders, because they're a different team when they get it all right. And so, no doubt, you know, the next couple of weeks, they'll want to find a bit of form around their game and getting things right, knowing that the playoffs are just around the corner, because, you know, a Chiefs team that's flying hot is going to be a tough one to get through. But I think it's just important that probably the next 2 weeks they want to sort out a few things that, you know, it's probably the unforced errors and, you know, keeping those kind of games in the balance for that long. They'll probably be a bit disappointed with how they went on the weekend.
They tried their best to blow it. And then they managed to not by doing the opposite at the very end. What about you, Chip?
Yeah, look, I think probably two New Zealand sides will be, running their eye over the review this week. You know, the Canes and the Chiefs probably didn't get the 5 points that they were heading over to get. But they got the win nonetheless. But, coming into playoffs, I think Clayton McMillan nailed it when he said, you know, the urgency and desperation that we showed in the last minute to get that try is what he wants to see across the 80 minutes. And we certainly know they're capable of it. They've got some strong leaders in that group. So look for a bounce back this weekend, I'd say.
It is interesting with them. They've won 4 out of their last 5. You know, they're in fourth place within reach of a home playoff, and yet they're just not quite there, Bryn. But it probably indicates that a not quite there Chiefs are still chalking up the wins, that this is a team to look out for.
Oh, 100%. Look, you'd rather, you know, bank those 4 points. And look, it's different. It's difficult going to Australia. I think, you know, people are having this perception that going to Australia doesn't matter, they should be getting wins. But, you know, even us know when we played the Waratahs, if you're a little bit off in these games, you know, the Australian teams have made a massive improvement around last year and been able to put us under pressure. And so, the Rebels did that on the weekend. They continue to keep staying in the fight. And it's been a common word that we've used with these Australian teams when it comes to resilience. And you know, when they're under pressure, they're not folding as they were last year. So, you know, going to Australia, it's a different beast. And, you know, you look at the Waratahs in Sydney as well, that was a packed stadium at Leichhardt, and you know, we had those experiences as well. And it's just different. It's a different preparation. It's a different scenario going over there. And you know, these Australian teams have really improved. And so New Zealanders would probably think they're going over to get 5 points, but you know, with the improvement of this Australian teams, I'm not surprised at all seeing how tight these last couple of tussles have been.
They had Brad Weber back. They had Josh Uwane back. Jipper, what did you make of the injection they made on this game and in the end, the effect on them winning it?
Yeah, look, I think Brad would have, had a big part to play in terms of the leadership side. I think Josh was great at times. He made a number of line breaks and probably they just couldn't finish them off. When you come back from such a long layoff, it isn't always easy to play, 10 out of 10. But I think both of them performed well enough to warrant, selection next week. And I actually thought, I'm interested in Bryn's comments, I thought Xavier Rowe showed good composure and metal to get through that last bit and get to that try. Like, he just seemed to have a calm nature and an approach that he was almost like, we'll get there when we get there, and not trying to rush it.
Yeah, I did. And look at those two, thinking that Brad's probably going to be starting. You're going to be starting for, the next couple of rounds and moving into that playoff system. But, Cortez Ratima has been fantastic with his opportunities when Brad's been injured. And then you've got a guy like Xavier Rowe, who at the start of the year was in behind Brad and has been consistently playing well when he's been given an opportunity. So, they're at the moment, you've got three great nines that are playing well. But I think, coming into the final series, that experience off the bench, whichever way they do go, Cortez has played, a big pan when he played at Waikato in the Mitre 10 Cup, Bunnings NPC, and Xavier has had a bit of time in that experience as well. So, yeah, if I'm Clayton, it's going to be a tough way to go because you've got two nines that are playing well and probably need that experience coming into the finals of like that scenario. Whoever's got the kind of game management and understanding in those moments will probably get the edge in that backup role for Brad.
The Chiefs have the Force and the Drua, so they've got two opportunities there to pick up some wins, I think, which is good for them. The Force game looks like they are at home, and so, that's a really solid position for them to be in, to maybe pick up 8 to 10 points, and then they would certainly be in the running there, while as the Canes maybe are doing it a little bit differently. They've got the Rebels, and the Canes have also got the Force. So actually, they've both got, very promising run-ins, those two teams, for that fourth and fifth and possible home playoff spot. Chip.
Yeah, Force away, though, for the Canes last round. Mm-hmm. That's always a challenging trip, as we've seen for most sides. So, the Chiefs being at home probably gives them the leg up. And you'd have to say it's theirs to give away, if you know what I mean. Like, they're sitting there, they've just got to win the last two and get themselves into a home playoff.
Chip, I feel like we haven't given you enough a chance to talk about the Blues. Another 50 points. We've mentioned Tucker, we've mentioned Barrett. Maybe let's talk Petefetta. We're looking at Damien McKenzie-style replacements, 10-15 guys. Can we start looking past this guy? We have to stop looking past this guy now. He is looking like he's a real option for the All Blacks.
Oh, 100%. I think he's right in the selection mix. And that's just on a long term. When you make the All Blacks, it's not just about one season. Like, he had a massive season with Taranaki, and now he's just bringing that game to Super Rugby level and confident to step up. I mean, in the grubber for Bodie, he steps into first receiver, Bodie's outside him. Neither of them are, too worried about that. They definitely don't mind that dual playmaker. And they're even crafty enough to come up with little kickoff plays that ended out beautifully for Caleb Clark. So he's definitely in great form. He's playing with confidence. But we sort of spoke about, Brad Weber and Josh Iwani and how they went for the Chiefs. The reality is what the pack is putting up front is allowing these guys time. And when you've got guys with that sort of pace and the ability and vision to see space and bend defences, it's all due to the fact that, the big boys up front are one, cleaning bodies, sucking more defenders in, and they're creating that space on the outside. So I have no doubt that those boys will be thanking that big machine up front.
Mm. Hey, you mentioned Barrett earlier and how well he's played, Bryn. Is this his best performance for this franchise so far, do you think?
Oh, I think, probably people would say that it would, but I tell you what, he wasn't that bad when he played us a couple of weeks ago. So just considering the, probably that was probably the game for me, I think, in the Blues jersey. I think, what was on the line that night and how he kind of game managed that game in the moments, the ways that he influenced that game. I'd probably say the game against us was probably his best in the Blues jersey. But look, that Reds game, he was fantastic. You know, scoring tries off a little kick from Perifetta, and then you know, being able to attack the line, like Jip said, you know, that forward pick's given him great ball, and even the likes of Finlay Christie with his speed of tempo, it's been able to light up that back line as well. So I'd probably say the one against us with what was on the line, Ross. But look, that Reds would be not too far from behind.
19 tries in two games, Jipper. What do you do to shut this team down?
Look, like I sort of mentioned it before, their forward pack's doing such a good job in the breakdown in the tough carry area that they're allowing time and space, and defence is a caught short. And you know, a lot of the time their lines are broken because they're one, not slowing the ball down, so they're not buying their teammates time to get set and get up. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, the Rebels and Reds just struggled to get any line speed pressure. And the only way you're going to challenge skills or make, you know, attacker have to make a decision or catch them behind the gain line is those two things, is slow the ball down at the breakdown, give yourself time. And then once you've bought that time, you've got to get up and get in their faces and force them to make a decision.
We have seen...
Go on. Sorry, Rossi, just to go on from that. Look, I think, you know, we've talked a lot around their offloads and being able to win collisions and contact, but they can do it both ways. They can win games in a lot of ways now. You know, whether it be through their set piece, they can go through, like, line-out drive mauls, being able to exert pressure using their maul. They've got a dominant scrum, you know, a lot of All Blacks in that pack, and they've got a great kicking game, whether it be off Finlay. You've got, obviously, Perifetta and Bowden Barrett, even Sullivan uses that left-educated boot very, very well when he's playing. So they've got a lot of ways that they can beat teams. So, look, if you think you can win it in the collision era, they can take you to set piece and try to take your legs out of that. If you win that, then they can try and kick you through their contestable games and their long kicking game as well. So it's just not their contact and collision area. I think they've got a lot of ways that they can beat you at the moment.
And a lot of experience in there that's paying dividends. You know, Bryce Heem's a really good example of that, Jip.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we've you know, talked about it at length, that depth of squad and having the ability of that next man up mindset that we've seen for so long, and with the Crusaders' success, you know, they've built a really deep roster and guys with that experience to come on and get the job done like he did. So, you know, sometimes you see when guys get to the latter part of their career, they're just back enjoying it and playing it for the love of the game, and that's what it looks like when Bryce plays. He just does it with a smile on his face, and he's just so excited to be part of it and get the ball in his hands or make his tackles and being around the group. So I think he's had a massive impact off the field as well in terms of the way he prepares and what he's learned over his time as a professional. And that spreads through the younger members, which is, you know, obviously good in terms of the prep and how they can perform as well.
Mm. Let's talk about Tucker. You mentioned him before. Obviously, when you look at the All Blacks setup, you've got those three kind of key guys, Whitelock, Retallick and Barrett, who are, you know, almost certainly always going to be there within the locking mix. And then when you look across the country, I think Arcoy was pretty impressive for the Chiefs on the weekend. Tucker is looking really, really strong. You know, there's a few players in and around that next lot, which is probably an undecided area. Do you feel like Tucker is a shot at this All Black squad, considering the form that he's shown this year, Jim?
I definitely think he's an opportunity, and I think you're right. There is opportunity in that, in and around that area, whether there may be an injury or, you know, so obviously senior players coming to the latter end of their career. And someone like James, like, he's always had the talent. He's always had the body. He's got the physical attributes. He's got the game. It's just his body's let him down at times with injuries. He's had back-to-back, you know, serious injuries, which has always held him back, and he hasn't been able to get games on the bounce. And I think you saw throughout Waikato, I think he was up for one of the NPC Player of the Year. And now he's, you know, back in the frame of the Blues. He's getting back-to-back sort of 80-minute shifts. And you're seeing the benefit of that. So there's definitely no reason why he can't be in that discussion. And just the way he's playing, like he's playing like that fend, the world's longest fend. He just dragged that fullback about 15 metres. But, you know, that's sort of... Brodie Retallick like mindset you want to see in these young locks, and you know, I think he's got all the skill set, and if he gets the opportunity, I'm pretty sure he'll make most of it.
Yeah, well, you guys played against him. What did you make of him up front?
Oh, just solid. Like he's you know, you kind of, especially with Tom Coventry, with how his kind of mindset is and how he is, you know, the tough stuff in the middle, through the contact collision and being able to win those moments through your ruck ball. is really important when it comes to quick ball. And, you know, James has been doing that for the whole year for the Blues. And then, like you said, his running ability and being able to give the world's longest fend and seeing him running up the middle of the park is a great attribute to have as well that's been in his game. And so, look, he's probably, you know, one of the form players in that Blues team and probably goes a little bit under the radar. But, you know, there's been a lot of if you look at the lock-in injuries, I took a look at us, for example, with the Crusaders. You know, we've had four lock-in injuries for the duration of the year. So, look, there's injuries and you continue to keep playing well, especially in the later part of the year. You know, you put pressure on selectors to be able to put you in the conversation of being given an opportunity to don the black jersey.
That's why it never hurts to be in a team on the top of the table, right? You know, there's plenty of examples over history of people who, whether they should have been there or shouldn't have been there, are in the top team and look good in the top team and make their way into the All Blacks, and that's that. So it'd be interesting to see how they go with them. Let's chat a little bit about the Canes. Again, going down early. Again, fighting their way back. Again, Ardie Savea showing just how important he is as a player within that team in New Zealand rugby as a whole. Where are they at, Bryn, considering, you know, those early struggles and then the guts that they're showing off the back of it?
Well, I think that's just it, Ross. I think, you know, we talked about it at length at the start of the year. You know, they're probably the best team with the last 20 minutes, being able to score points, you know, through the injection of their bench. And probably the thing for them is they want to be able to start right. You know, the ability to go down 15-0 at Leichhardt was, you know, it was tough, man. I looked at that, you know, that first half. They had a couple opportunities that they probably missed out, which probably would have had their, you know, the scoreboard a little bit different. It was the 23rd, you know, missed try from Karifi, and then they had a bit of momentum and they knocked it on in the, you know, 33rd, 34th minute, being able to, you know, that was the moment to build pressure and possibly score points. And then, you know, coming out the second half, probably had I would have been interested to hear their halftime talk from Jace Holland because they came out and they were able to grind out a wing. You know, it was a good word was actually used with their result from the Australian commentators. It was a brave victory from them because, like, they didn't start well, and very similar to the Chiefs. You know, they're not, you know, there's probably some things that they want to work on where they think they can be better. But look, being able to get 4 points coming back from that 15-0 deficit, you know, we weren't able to come back and win that game. And the Waratahs at the moment are playing some really good footy, being able to win those games. But, you know, again, it's their ability to be able to get behind Ardie Savea with his try in the 74th minute, and then being able to hold on, you know, for a victory that they'll be thinking will take the win, but they'll probably have a pretty tough review for the next coming days for sure.
Again, we saw Geordie at 12, and he was impressive at 12 with Josh Morby at fullback. Is it time for them just to settle on that combination and stick with it through the back end of the season, Jibba?
I think with someone like Geordie's experience outside Aidan Morgan is probably helping his game as well. And you know, he's still a young man and developing. And I mean, so much of the play is centered around Geordie, whether he's at 15 or 12. So I don't think it's overly different. The only probably difference is that freedom to inject himself into the line, having that tight at the back. But Morby's playing so well, and I think Geordie's doing a great job at 12. You look at Sullivan's try. You know, he breaks through three or four tackles to free that ball up, and then Ardie links up with Baylon Sullivan for the try. But without that big body sucking in three or four Waratahs defenders and then getting the offload away, you know, that try doesn't happen, and then they probably don't win that game. So I think he's a crucial cog, and maybe, you know, at this stage and what he's showing going into finals footy, they do have the medal for these tight, you know, competition games to push it deep. Probably a little bit, they'd probably like to get ahead a little bit earlier than they do, but their temperament and their experience in these sort of tough must-win situations because they've started slow is probably setting them up as a little bit of a strength in a way for the harder games when it comes to that finals.
We dark horse for the playoffs, they can tip anybody up. Are you surprised, Bryn, that Julian Savea, who got a shot at 12 earlier on the season and looked relatively impressive there, hasn't been given another crack in that spot?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, because Jules has been playing well on the wing the whole year, pretty much for the Hurricanes. You know, it's a hotly contested spot for that group, with obviously with Ray Arcee, Wes Houston, who's been playing really well, and Morby, who we just alluded to. But I think the thing with Geordie, it's his ability to be able to be a triple threat. And look, that's not to say that Jules isn't. I mean, he showed glimpses of that when he was at 12, his distribution skills and being able to show that kind of side to him.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Probably haven't seen with him at winger, but the ability that Geordie has when it comes to the contact area, his passing game, his distribution, his kicking game and his running game, and defensively, he's tough and has been making those decisions and knowing what it makes to be a 12. I think it's just important for him to be able to play at 12 and what he can give them going forward in the back end of the season, because in these tight games, I think those are the attributes that you need, which, you know, Geordie is a massive strength of his. And so, but if Geordie ends up getting injured or there's something that's working with that, and Jules has the ability to be able to be that kind of impact player and being able to bring some of those attributes that Geordie has when he does play 12.
It feels to me, Jip, like a few weeks ago we were talking about how impressive he was looking, and slowly that conversation has slid away. Do you think Julian is still in the conversation for an All Black squad spot?
Well, look, I agree with Bryn. Like, probably the reason he hasn't got a go at 12 is he's just played so well in his usual 11 jersey. And I think you've always got to credit players that are adjusting their game to make sure that they, you know, can still get selected. And some of the elements that Julian's added to his game, you know, especially his kicking game and the aerial game, have been massive. You know, a lot of the times the Canes have a lot of success is when they get their kick strategy right. And a lot of the time it's, Julian getting up and tapping the ball back, putting that pressure in those contestable areas. So, I think he's there or thereabouts, but it's just where he fits, because there's just so many, you know, quality wingers going around at the moment that were previously in the All Blacks jersey. But as I've said before, with a new selector and Joe Schmidt and what he's looking for, it may be different, in terms of how they select.
He is definitely a wild card. I think he was on the breakdown on the weekend, Joe Schmidt. A lot of nous there. Do you think we could see a difference in direction because of Joe Schmidt, Brent?
I don't think so. I think collectively there's probably, there's a lot of ideas, and, you've got the coaches that have been there from the get-go, and they'll have their clear plan around what they're seeing. But, what Joe does do, he's got a different set of eyes, and he's been in a different part of the world for a long time and was a massive around Ireland success. And so anytime you can get that kind of experience, been able to look at a different area where, the All Blacks could find a bit of, 1 or 2% here that could be the difference come World Cup time or even this Ireland series. To having a guy like Joe Schmidt in that environment is going to be great for them moving forward.
Mm. Before we move on from the Canes, another chance for you to talk about Isaiah Parisi. Played again very, very well on the weekend. Starting centre for the Wallabies, is he a shoo-in for that role?
Oh, look, I think they're desperate to utilise him, aren't they? Again, probably injuries have held him back at that international level. He does seem to play really well outside for Kitty, so can he strap up, that relationship with Paisami? I'm not too sure. But his skill set and his ability to do things, other players can't, is second to none. And when he's on, I think his big challenge will just be getting that consistency and performances at that next level up.
Mm. The Tars take on the Highlanders this weekend. You mentioned Sam Gilbert at the start of the show. Do they need to stick with him now? He's shown that he can do it. Do it again against the Waratahs, Bryn?
I think you've got to give him an opportunity to do it. Look, I think the way that he played and, the result that they got and how they won that game, Sam was a big part of that. And look, that result doesn't come through the hard work of their forward. And so, the forward pack probably deserves a bit of a pat on the back with their performance on the weekend and being able to give Sam and Nuggie, those guys, opportunities to be able to perform like that. But you've always got Huntsie, and you know what you're going to get with Huntsie. And so just due to the fact that how his performance was, how his goal kicking, which was really good as well, he's probably warranted another start for this coming week.
What impressed you most about him, Jip?
Just how gutsy he was. Like, he just didn't seem overawed. He didn't look like he felt like he was under pressure. He's had moments when he's played at fullback for me that I've gone, man, this kid's got something, you know, special. And I think given that opportunity to get the ball in his hands more often than not, and, you know, as Bryn said, he's sort of a run first five, which will always put the defences on notice, and that opens up opportunities for the short kicking game and you know, releasing that ball to his outsides and getting around defences like that. So I think he's got the ability to remain there. I don't see how you could drop him after a performance like that. Like, he was exceptional, and that confidence. And I also think that the guy outside him's doing a great job, Umanga Jensen. I just think he is a quality player and has an amazing ability to get through defences when it almost looks like it's shut up shop, but he seems to pop out the other side. So I think both of them being such physical presence, if it's not quite going to plan, they can just go direct, get across the gain line and bring their forwards into it. Because, you know, look at Andrew Makalau. I think he delivers a ball, he gets round, and then, you know, the big man comes in and scores a try. So he's got double touches. So there's a lot to like around what their type five's doing as well off the back of, what Sam delivered. And I think they can get excited by that. But this is a big challenge. Like, the Waratahs will want to bounce back. And I think we will see if that injection of confidence from the other night has got them on a run. If they can't back it up, then, you know, like, after you've had a tough season, the demons can sort of get away with you. But I reckon if they back it up, whatever's happened before will be gone from their memory banks, and they'll be playing with plenty of confidence.
Bryn, let's talk a bit of Falau Fakatama.
What did we say? That the number eight coming in with a hot form. Did we not say this, Ross? Yeah. That could happen. This just adds to the competition. If they can get that job done, I'll tell you what, you know, getting the Highlanders on, you know, a couple of wins, if they can build that confidence, because they're probably going to finish eighth. Woof. That's going to be a tough one come 1-8, 1-8.
Hand that one over to the Blues, huh?
Happily.
We'll see, mate.
Fair enough. Falau Fakatava, we've spoken a lot about him over the last couple of years. We're getting to business time now, and he's starting to hit his form. And the All Blacks will likely take three halfbacks into that series against Ireland. Is he one of those three blokes? Have we seen enough for him to be in there with most likely Aaron Smith, of course? We've just seen Brad Weber back. How does this work out for you, Bryn, with these three halfbacks?
Well, it's tough because there's depth in that position. You know, if you've got the three that you're talking about, you've got Nuggy, you've got Brad, and you've got TJ, who's done a lot in that All Black environment. And you've got Finlay Christie, who you could arguably say is the form halfback in the competition. So, but what Falau has done really well, and it's probably the fact that he gets to be at the Highlanders, is he gets to play under Aaron Smith in that kind of bench role. Because if you're thinking around, you know, the All Blacks starting, if they could go in any direction, but you'd think that Nuggy would be the incumbent starting, and then what can you bring off the bench? And, you know, so what Falau's been doing the last 2 weeks off the bench and been able to influence games, you know, that's a real strength of his, and being able to have that ability. So that's a feather in his cap that he can bring, the fact that he is at the Highlanders. But I think you need to see more of it from Falau, because, you know, there's a lot of guys that have proven at that level, and knowing that, you know, the Irish are coming. They're coming after a really good Six Nations, and then, you know, obviously with the result that they had the All Blacks. And so, you know, you want to have your three best halfbacks. So whether he can come in, I'm not too sure, just because there's just experienced nines around. But if he keeps continuing to play like he is, and there's an injury there, then he could get an opportunity to be in the All Blacks squad.
It's good to have a point of difference guy in and around the nine jersey, though, right? I mean, we've seen it over the years with TJ, where he brings a different kind of game off the bench. He brings physical running, an eye for a gap, that kind of stuff. And Falau does that really well, Jipper. Is he basically head-to-head with TJ, do you think, for that third role?
That's a tough one, because I don't think you can leave Christie out, because I agree. I think he's a form halfback, and I think he was great on the end of your tour as well. So he's backed that up now with form. So you've got to think he's going to take one spot. You know Nuggy's going to take the other. And then you've got Brad Weber, TJ, and Falau fighting. So I think it may potentially help that he's got something that he offers that is different. Like we've seen from TJ over the years, but I don't think you can rule out Brad Weber either of picking up that third spot and what he can offer that All Black squad as well. So I know I sort of have gone around not answering that, but I just don't have it clear. I don't have it clear in my own head, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because the Irish test is a key in terms of, I think, experience could play a part, and that may give, you know, TJ or Brad the upper hand to pick up that third spot.
And I think also, Ross, you know, you've got the Irish series and there could be injuries where, you know, where that happens and, you know, Folau could be given an opportunity. But, you know, there is an Endeavour Tour that is coming. You know, we're playing, you know, I think the schedule's been going, you know, we play Japan and then we end up going to the Northern Hemisphere after that. So, look, I know that's not a lot amount of time, but, you know, that could be another opportunity where they might be able to blood in Folau and to get him in the environment and seeing how he goes at that kind of back end of the year.
Moving on to the Drua versus Moana Pacifica. We had a good one there for the draw. Did that go as you expected, Brent?
Probably not, actually. I thought it'd be a little bit tighter, and, you know, thinking that Moana actually might get that W. But I think, you know, knowing you know, the Fijian draw, they probably would have scheduled that in their calendar, knowing that that was going to be a big encounter and a win for them. And, you know, it was great to see, you know, the pleasantries before the game around the huckers and the wall dance, you know, added to that spectacle of what it was. But, yeah, look, I think if you're the Fijian draw, you're bloody stoked with that result and getting that win. And the kind of the way they played and being able to get that result, knowing that, you know, the Moana Pacifica were probably thinking that they could get that win. But, you know, in the end, it was pretty convincing. And, you know, even Ravovo, you know, that trial to nail really at the back end, you know, that was the winning of the game. But, you know, the Fijian draw will be very, very happy with that, knowing that they're coming to Christchurch and playing us in a couple of days' time.
There have been a lot of impressive guys out of those two teams, despite the fact that they're right there at the bottom of the table, Chipper. Who in particular stood out to you that is warranting test selection for Fiji, Samoa, Tonga?
Well, I think Voto, the centre, he just seems to, yeah, he got a couple of tries, but also his defensive work. Hambosi was a great, again, loose forward trio was awesome for Fiji. The one thing I do love about this team is they're starting to get the idea of how they need to manage their game, you know, picking up threes here and there just to get that scoreboard pressure and knowing when to do the quick taps and not. And I think Moana Pacifica will be disappointed, I'd say, because I thought it would be a little bit closer. And again, it's just if you look at their turnover number, and the amount of penalties, they're just giving oppositions too many times, either the ball back, or piggybacking them up the field. So I think, you know, they probably would have challenged that game and sort of targeted as 4 points. But in the end, the way the Ndrua got off to such a hot start, it was just too much with the high error rate to you know, pull back.
Let's talk about our Super Rugby dream teams. Do you guys think that any of those blokes fit into your dream team from that game on the weekend, Bryn?
No, the notable mentions, but no, they didn't make my team. One from Moana Pacifica, Pacifica did, but yeah, from what we've just talked about, there's too many good players that have played this week that warranted form in the form 15 for me this week.
Okay, let us know who you got.
Right, I'm going to start off with Fletcher Newell and Georgie Bauer in the props. I just think with how what the kind of occasion was around knowing that the set piece wise. For the Brumbies, we really needed a front of there, and they were right at it, right a part of it. But I've got Andrew Makaliu at two, who I thought was great on the weekend. I've got Tucker four, Sam Whitelock at five. I've got Pablo Matera at six. I've got Ethan as a notable mention, but I've got Gamble from the Waratahs chip, who I thought was great on the weekend. I've got Marino, obviously, as my match of the round. And then here you go, Chip. A lot of Blues players to come here, mate, so stay with me. I've gone Finlay Christie at nine. I've gone Bodie, notable mention for Rich in his form, but I've gone Bodie, Caleb Clark, Tuivasa-Sheck. I wanted to go Heem at centre, who I thought came on and played really well, but I've gone for Parisi in his performance for the Waratahs. I've gone Timothy Tavatavawai for Moana Pacifica. He was great for them. And then I've gone Stephen Perifetta at 15, who, again, is playing great football.
Struth, I think you've got more Blues players than me.
I thought you'd like that one, Jip. So you'd like that one. It's quite off tough when we started 1-3, but we got there in the end.
Yeah, I agree. Loosehead was tough. I've gone with Hodgman, but, you know, you could have picked a number of guys there. I thought the group was great. Norris, obviously, impact off the bench. Ross, Bauer as well. I thought I agree with you, Bryn. He was really strong, especially in his power game in terms of his carries and cleans. So, but I went Alex. His work off the ball and some of his clean-outs were outstanding and created opportunities. So, went with him there. I went Makaleo as well, even though Cody Taylor did a grubber and Reece Marshall did a chip and chase. I think Makaleo's back-to-back efforts, he was outstanding and energetic, and they're a great little combo, Makaleo and Marshall. So it's a little shining light for the Highlanders at the moment. I went Franks at tight head. You can't buy experience, and what I sort of spoke about it last week, the importance of that experience and how valuable he can be off the bench for the Canes going into the finals. He was massive alongside Colsey and getting the Canes across the line there. I went Tucker, obviously. He's my player of the round. Sam Whitelock. I put Mickey Alitu at 6 and Hoskins at 8. Went for Gamble at 7. Christie at 9. I went Gilbert at 10. I agree. I think Richie and Bodie were great and probably as expected, but I think Gilbert was a surprise package, and that's why I picked him. I went Thomas Umanga-Jensen at 12. I went Heem at 13. And on the wings, I went Humbossi from the Drua. Anyone with wheels like that, it's hard to leave out of a form 15. The right wing, I put Hodge because I thought he was great and I wanted to acknowledge him. So I could fit Will Jordan in to the 15 spot.
And if you've been tuning into rugbypass.com and putting in your entries, you would have been in competition with Grant Ferguson, who won the prize this week for a subscription to rugbypass.com. It's not long now until we start looking at who the person is who's going to come and join us on the show. So we look forward to seeing that. Interesting point from the weekend. You mentioned Cody and Dane over the last few minutes. Is there a new tactic with line-out throws, the line-out grubber, possibly, Jippa? That's a new thing that everyone's doing?
You never know, mate. You never know. Inventive players, hookers. The creative geniuses of most teams.
The bounce pass was a new invention, I think, for the weekend in Super Rugby, definitely. I'm sure there would have been a couple of drinks in the court session afterwards for two outstanding throw-ins.
100%.
Yeah. Hey, there's a few big things in the international scene. Now we've talked Super Rugby. Obviously, in the last week or so, we've had some big announcements. Australia and the USA host for the 2027 and 2031 Men's Rugby World Cup. How important is that for those countries, Bryn? I suppose Australia, who haven't been at their heights as they used to be, and USA, which is a place that rugby is forever trying to get into.
Yeah, I think it's great for Australia to be able to host again. They've done it before, and they always put on great spectacles with over our time being able to play in Super Rugby. Or I can imagine the All Black boys have fond memories of like playing in Australia consistently. But look, I think the American one is going to be great for world rugby. Look, if that MLR competition can continue for the next 4 or 5 years to gain a bit of momentum, that sets it up really well for the Eagles and getting into that market, because you're right, Ross, it has been a long time we've wanted to go into that market, be able to have the brand out there for New Zealand rugby or just rugby in general because of just what it can offer and knowing how big it can be if America really takes off. And so having the opportunity to have the World Cup in America is going to be a great opportunity for rugby and world rugby and hopefully get into that market. And so, like I said, hopefully that MLR competition continue to keep gaining momentum. And then when it comes to, that year, in a few years' time, it'll be everything coming together and hopefully a great spectacle in America.
It's a hell of a congested market, though. A lot of people have gone there, tried and failed and left having not made the mark they wanted to. Jip, how do they go about making the 2031 World Cup work for permanent success in the States?
It's now. I think the MLR is growing. People are wanting to be a part of it. A lot of players are attracted to the lifestyle. It's not so much, going for the big contract offers of Japan and France, but the lifestyle and the ability to travel around the States is quite enticing. And the more that comp starts to expand and grow, by 2031, you'd be hoping that there's a good percentage of that massive population, understanding the game a little bit more, and having the ability to sort of, get in behind their side, and home venues, but also learn about, other countries and the skill set they can show. Because if they can crack that market, I think we all know it'll be only a good thing for our game.
Mm. The other big thing around the world right now, the idea of the Nations Championship, which kind of got shot down a year or so ago, and the Club World Cup being back in the discussion after Rugby Bosses met in Dublin last week. Brenner, you a fan? Do you think it's going to work within what is an incredibly packed schedule?
Oh, I think, as a player, and you're probably as fans, you'd love that idea to be able to happen. But I guess, it's been able to get the powers that be collectively from the home nations of different countries, been able to all come together and run it together. So that's probably been the stopping barrier in the past. And so for it to happen, it's everybody's got to be able to accept and been able to compromise, probably is the word, which probably is tough to do in some unions and that. But look, if they can get it all done, Ross and Jip, I think, we both know that it'll be a great spectacle for fans to be able to see something different and seeing different styles going up against different styles at the best place in the world. So fingers crossed that it can happen.
Is there a united desire, do you think, Jip, to make this happen? Do you think that people can come together and allow this global calendar to finally come to fruition?
Oh, you'd like to think so, because from a player's and a fan's point of view, especially the club championship, that just excites the hell out of me. To get a worldwide club winner, bragging rights, the ability to play different opposition, is obviously key for us here in New Zealand, that we don't now have the South Africans in Super Rugby. So anything like this, happening every 4 years or 2 years, however they come up with it, just excites me for the game. I think it'll be great for it. And I'm a codehead, mate, so any sort of Nations Cup or anything test match wise, I'm into it. I'm into all of it.
We want to see some new revenue streams, and I suppose taking Kiwi teams into foreign areas could allow that as well as the money you get from the broadcasting. Could be new kinds of sponsorship deals, all sorts of things like that could really help the game as well. Now, going even bigger, we've been doing Rethinking Rugby now for a little while, a few weeks. Every week we get something from one of you out there who watches or listens to the podcast, and you tell us where you think we could change the game of rugby to make it a better fit. Now, this week we've got a really interesting concept. In order to speed up the game, stop so many collapsed scrums, and get a little bit more action on the field than we get currently, the idea is that knock-ons should only result in scrums in either 22. Now, guys, if you're going to have a tap or a free kick in all of the areas between the 22s, would that do good things for the game, do you think, Bryn?
As a purist, probably not. But I think I think the way I actually had a look at this around that idea, and being able to maybe have a stop clock around the amount of time that it actually takes to reset a scrum, there might be a certain number, a minute or minute 20, 30, whatever it may be, as a number to be able to get the reset scrum done in that amount of time. Because I think the scrums are a massive part in being able to win games. Look, if you have a dominant set piece, it goes a long way for you to be able to win games. And it's probably letting the other teams off the hook that don't have a strong set piece whilst taking that out of the game helps them a little bit more. So for me, the idea I can understand it for as a fan, being able to take these less stoppages. But for me, I guess it's that time, having a shot clock like they do in league, to be able to get these scrums in a certain amount of time, whereas there's a free kick given to the team or something like that.
You don't want to take all the scrums away from Jipper. Maybe give him a chance to have it first.
That's why I was waiting for you to go to Jipper first to see what he said.
Mate, I read it, and I kind of like it. And obviously, Ross, you gave me a shot across the bow last week for pretty much saying no to every innovation that's come across the table. But I like this one. I do like the idea of the clock as well. I saw an article saying that, scrums and lineouts are such an important part of rugby's identity. To try and get rid of them, then we'd end up probably just looking like leagues. So keeping them, I do believe, is key. But the idea, this viewer described it well enough for me to understand what they're getting at, is the pressure situations coming out of 22s, or you're on hard attack in 22s, and it actually adds to the spectacle of the game, whereas in between that, you know, they believe that it maybe just be better with a quick tap. And so I'm going to give this one the tick, Ross.
Yes.
I'm going to say this one's a goer.
Excellent. Let's do it. Take it to World Rugby.
That's huge.
I thought I'd never hear the day where you say no more scrums. Unbelievable.
Not no more scrums. It's not no more scrums, Bryn. It's just limiting
scrums,
between the 22s.
Limiting them between the 22s.
Wow. Never thought I'd hear it.
Goodness me, this is a revelation. I'm completely shocked. But the good news is that I've been to the hotel in Dublin that the World Rugby stay in when they have these kind of meetings, and it's pretty plush. Like, the lifts are better than your average house. So I think we take this to Dublin, we take the free flight, we take the hotel rooms, we go take it up there, and if we don't get it by, at least we've got a week on them of good times.
We pitched the idea.
Yeah.
We pitched the idea, Ross. Yeah, we guys are great.
We can celebrate at the Guinness factory too.
100%. Okay, well, that's great. So we'll see how this goes. Keep sending them in. We want to keep seeing your ideas come in. We like the idea of speeding up the game. We like the idea of less resets. Bryn, obviously, is a person far more committed to scrumming than anybody else because, geez, he gets his hands on the ball enough, no matter what. But after the scrums, he's definitely got his hands on the ball, right? So he's never going to want to get rid of that.
That's it, mate. No, that's it. Shot clock.
Shot clock sounds pretty good to me. Okay, lads, let's have a look at the weekend ahead. The penultimate round of the regular season in Super Rugby Pacific. It starts off with your boys, Brynner, against the Drua. Obviously, you're going to say you got to win there, and I think most likely, Jip, this is a lay down his ear.
Yeah, Crusaders at home.
Yeah, next game, Reds versus Moana Pacifica. This is actually quite a big game for the Reds, who've gone off the boil, four straight losses. Where do you see it going, Bryn?
I'm going to go Reds, be able to get some vital points for the competition back into the finals.
Chip?
Yeah, I think the Reds as well. They showed enough on attack with James O'Connor back. They'll just need to show a little bit more steel on defence. And at home, I think they'll do that.
Where do you see the Chiefs' force going, Jibber?
Chiefs
at home for you? Yep, absolutely. Now, the Hurricanes, we've talked a lot about the Chiefs and the Hurricanes today. Hurricanes at home against the Rebels, Bryn?
I'll go Hurricanes.
Yeah, I reckon Hurricanes. They'll be on notice, though, after their turnaround against the Chiefs. But I think they'll get it done at home. They'll be wanting to try and get 5 points, though, to try and challenge the Chiefs for that fourth spot.
Okay, the top of the table game, the Brumbies at home against the Blues. Jipper, you think the Blues are going to win away?
Well, it won't be easy, but I think they'll win.
No, I think the Blues win. It'll be a tight encounter. If they can get Rob Valentini back and Noah Lolasea back, it'll help the Brumbies, but I think the Blues are too strong at the moment with how they're playing.
Great. And Highlanders versus the Waratahs. This is a good test for both of these sides, Bryn.
Yep. Where's that been played?
That's being played in Dunedin.
I'll go with the Highlanders. It'll be a tight tussle. But the Highlanders, after their performance against the Force, and finding some form at the back end of the comp.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Highlanders have to win to give themselves the belief that they can go the whole way.
And maybe jump into that eighth spot and have a crack at the Blues. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Okay, thank you very much again, guys. Welcome home, Bryn. Great to have you back. Good luck for the game this weekend, Jipper. Great analysis as always. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for your time, both of you.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, guys.
Great. We'll see you next week on the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Remember to catch all the action this week on Sky Sport and all the analysis on rugbypass.com. We'll see you later. Mā te wā.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.